हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे
मेधं वृषणौ च मित्रौ कुक्षी समुद्रा गिरियोस्ति संघ मॉडेस्टी इज द अपर पोर्शन ऑफ हिज लिप्स एंकरिंग इज हिज चिन रिलीजन इज द ब्रेस्ट ऑफ द लॉर्ड एंड इरिलीजन इज हिज बैक ब्रह्मा जी हु जनरेट ऑल लिविंग बीइंग्स इन द मटेरियल वर्ल्ड इज हिज जेनिटल्स एंड द मित्र वरुणास आर हिज टू टेस्टिकल्स द ओशन इज हिज वेस्ट एंड द हिल्स एंड द माउंटेन्स आर द स्टैक्स ऑफ हिज बोन्स. So, first of all, we'd like to welcome all the devotees who have come on this holiday as well as Holy Day. It's the Divine Appearance Day of His Holiness Jesus Christ. So, it's a very, very auspicious day. The Appearance Day of a pure devotee of the Lord. The one who started a religion, who is the biggest religion. The maximum followers are of Christianity. So, we are very much grateful that Jesus Christ preached. Of course, their followers are little mess, but whatever he preached was just perfect. Of course, he had to speak so many things, that's what he said. But we should be knowing that to whom he was preaching, the audience were just not capable of accepting anything. But he still Jesus Christ preached to those people, and today we see that Christianity is the biggest religion in the world. So, today we can pray to Jesus Christ. So, today's verse, basically, we can see there are so many soft things, so many subtle things in this verse, the translation, the previous verse and the future verses also. Like yesterday when I was discussing with Sridhar Krishna Prabhu, modesty is the upper portion of his lip. Now, how to understand these things? The hankering is his chin. Now, some hankering is something subtle and chin is something very gross. Religion is the breast of the Lord. So the point which I want to say, that so many times, so many things in from Bhagavatam or from the Vedic literatures, we are not able to relate the things which we can understand from our own intelligence, our own mind, our own scope of the brain. So the example is given of a cobweb. The spider, the only one sense of the spider works, that is of touch. It cannot smell, it cannot see, it cannot taste. The spider cannot do all these things. So what the spider will do, it will make a net, cobweb kind of thing, and the moment any other insect, they get stuck in that cobweb, he will understand how far it is, how big it is, that's all. He will not understand how it tastes. He will not understand how it looks. So for him, that cobweb is the whole world. He doesn't have any concept how it tastes or how it looks and how it, how the feeling of the touch of that particular object. So he has just only one thing, that once the insect that they get stuck in that, he just gets the feel that how far they are and how big they are, that's all. So, if Raspriya Mataji, she is making something inside, say butter halwa, all of us can smell that butter halwa, we will feel, but the cobweb will not understand that maybe there may be a in that corner, there may be a spider in its web, but he will not understand that there is some halwa going on, because he doesn't have the sense of smell. What is smell? He doesn't know. So for him, or for a cobweb or a spider, the life is just that cobweb. He cannot think beyond that. He, if you go and explain him that here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his name is Lord Krishna, his name is Lord Chaitanya, and you should worship him, he will say, what is this? I don't understand. I cannot see. You are speaking, I cannot hear also. So for him to understand all these things, it is next to impossible. Similarly, our mental frame is made as per this material world. We cannot think beyond this earth also. Most of the time we are failed to understand how the energy is generated in the body when we put some food. We know that if I put one nut or cashew nut, badam, whatever, some dry fruits, it will give me energy. But if we know how it gives the energy, we'll just take that energy part. If we know that this is, here is the energy. Orange has vitamin C. Okay, let me see where is the vitamin C. I'll just take that. We don't know. The scientists, they try something, but it's not a natural as good as the orange in itself. So most of the time, we ourselves are not able to understand what is going on in the body, what is going on in the neighbor's house, what is going on in the country everywhere on this planet Earth. We don't know so many things. But when it comes to God, yes, I want to know everything. I want to know everything I want to know about God. I want to understand with my intelligence, the tiny intelligence, very tiny intelligence. I want to understand that. But is it possible to understand God by our challenging attitude? When Brahmaji came to Dwarka, so he was stopped at the door itself. And he told the doorkeeper, go and tell Lord Krishna that Brahma has come. And the doorkeeper went inside and told Lord Krishna that Brahma has come. So Krishna replied, which Brahma? Go and ask which Brahma. Doorkeeper came back and he asked, which Brahma you are? And Brahmaji's face, although he has four faces, it became little small. And he said, I mean, there are many more Brahmas other than me also. So he was a little confused. So he said that, tell him that four-headed Brahma has come. So meanwhile, Lord Krishna has summoned all the Brahmas from all the planets. Some Brahmaji, they had 8 heads, some 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, 512, 1028, so many heads, millions of heads. And Krishna arranged in such a way that no Brahma could see another Brahma. But only four-headed Brahma could see all other Brahma. And when he entered in his palace, inside, he saw everybody was bowing his head towards Lord Krishna. And all the helmets, they were falling. And it was making wonderful sound. And then Brahmaji, he got stuck. I mean, what is this? I was thinking that I am the great. But here I am seeing so many Brahmas at one shot, and everybody is bowing their head towards Lord Krishna, and I have only four heads, perhaps I am the smallest in front of all these people. Somebody has 8, 16, 28, so many things. So even a personality like Brahma has a difficulty to understand Lord Krishna. And here we are with one head, one brain, the one Brahma who has age of billions and billions of years. He has four heads to manage this whole universe. Since his age is so long, but this personality is saying that I am not able to understand. And here we come, we want to understand how Krishna is person. How can God be a person? Because it's so easy to accept that God is impersonal. If we go and tell in the market that God is impersonal, nobody will listen to you because everybody says that, yes, you are not seeing anything new. We know this. We accept this. But if we say that God is a person, then people are there to reject. People are there not to accept. So, we should understand that Lord Krishna himself proves in Bhagavad Gita that he is person. Like he says in 7th chapter that abuddhaya, those who don't understand that I am Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are abuddhaya. Avyaktam vyaktim apannam manyate mam abuddhaya. Some people they think that I was avyakt, that is unmanifested. Vyakti mapannam, now I have become vyakti, that is person. They are all abuddhya, fools. He also says in 11th chapter that his two-handed form is the most beautiful, most attractive form. He also says in 12th chapter that impersonalism is difficult to understand and follow. Klesho adhiktaras tesham avyakta sakta chetasam. He also says that Brahmano hi pratishtaham, I am the source of Brahman. He says, I am aham sarvasya pravo, I am the source of everything. Mat chitta mat gata prana, we were just hearing this wonderful words. Mat chitta mat gata prana bodhayanta parasparam. Bodhayanta means talking about each other. What we will talk about each other? About whom? The impersonal Brahman? What we will talk? You know, impersonal Brahman looks like tube light. And the other person says, yes, yes, I accept. Is it the discussion going on continuously? The impersonal Brahman looks like tube light, it is light. Other person says, no, it is light. Yeah, yeah, it is also light. Yeah, yeah, it is also. This cannot be bodhayanta parasparam. Right? So this cannot be like this. So Krishna proves in Bhagavad Gita, explains in Bhagavad Gita that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Bhagavatam goes one step beyond that. Bhagavatam goes one step beyond that. Bhagavatam explains by the example of the devotees who have realized that Krishna is person, they have meditated Krishna's form, and thus they have experienced the reciprocation between Krishna and his devotees. So Srimad Bhagavatam reveals that Krishna is not only a person but also a dynamic person. He is not only a person but he is a beautiful person. He is attractive. He is diplomatic. He is intelligent. He is sharp. Sometimes he feels bad. Sometimes he feels shy. Sometimes he gets angry. He has expression on his face. Sometimes he loves something. Sometimes he gets disturbed with something. He also wants to love. So he has his consorts. He also wants to go for swimming. He also wants to go on boat riding. He also likes to go on mountains. He also wants to play the flute. He wants to also like singing. He also likes to dance. So he is a person. And Srimad Bhagavatam explains that. So God is not static. He is ecstatic. So Bhagavatam explained that God is most complete and most merciful. So in Srimad Bhagavatam 3rd canto, Brahmaji, he explains, narrates one story to Narad Muni about Sanat Kumar. We all know there were four Kumaras, sons of Brahma. They were known as Sanat, Sanatan, Sanat Kumar and Sanandan. They were great rishis. And they knew that if we go adult, if we let our body grow, then Maya will be more powerful. So we want to keep our innocence, the child innocence, and we don't want to spoil that innocence. You know, if we say, Sangeeta, Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, she will accept. But if somebody comes to us and say, Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, after hearing so many things, we will accept, but not from the deep core of the heart, because that innocence we have lost. But four Kumaras, they were not willing to lose their innocence. So they said, we don't want to grow beyond 5 years of age. That's all. 5 years means we can talk, we can listen, we can see, we can understand. After that, we don't want to grow. We don't want to become mature, apparently mature. But they were much, much, much more mature because they decided we don't want to grow beyond this age. And what they were wearing four directions. It means they were naked. They were living like that because 5 years child, if he is moving naked, no problem. He is a small child. So they kept their innocence. But, and they used to hear from Lord Brahma, their father. But they were attached to the impersonal aspect of the Supreme Absolute. But since they had the idea that there is personal aspect also, they wanted to see Lord Vishnu. And that's why they decided to go to Vaikuntha. Now here it is really, really, we can understand that they are so pure that they, although had some concept of impersonalism, still they could enter into Vaikuntha. So they entered the 6 gates and at 7th gate they were stopped. they saw at the seventh gate that there were two gatekeepers, Jay and Vijay. And when they saw that these gatekeepers, they were very beautiful, they had garlands, but they were looking like little disturbed. They were little agitated also. They had clubs in their hand, and immediately they said that you cannot go into the Vaikuntha. No entry for you. Because Prabhupada explains that there were three qualities of all the Kumaras. The first quality was sincere. They were very sincere to see Supreme Personality of Godhead. Second quality was they were grateful. And third quality was they were very humble. So these three qualities we'll see in this whole pastime, that they were so sincere, so grateful and so humble. And because they were also hearing from Parampara, I mean Brahmaji, if they heard from Brahmaji, they were in Parampara. And they were not satisfied with impersonal aspect. And they wanted, when they entered at seventh gate, all their eagerness, it was just stopped. It's just like somebody is giving you rasgulla and he prepares so nicely from you, for you. And then everything is just ready. And the moment somebody, that the devotee is ready to give you, somebody else comes and he just takes it. So how one can feel disturbed and agitated? So all the four Kumaras, they also felt little disturbed and agitated and they got angry. Now, in anger, we lose the intelligence. And here also, when Kumaras, they got angry, they apparently lost their intelligence. We'll see how they lost their intelligence. So, Prabhupada explains that although the four Kumaras, they were at liberated status, still they got angry. Why? Prabhupada says that even if somebody has a liberated status, he can still get angry. Okay? Because even if you are at liberated status, still you can get angry. That's what Prabhupada says. So, but their anger was not for personal reason. That I wanted to see the Lord, I wanted to enjoy the Lord, or I wanted to capture something, I wanted to take from something. They just wanted to see the Lord. They wanted to have their darshan. And because of that, they got angry. And they felt that Lord is known as Suratma. Suratma means, or there is another word, Suhrda. No, there are two words. Suhrda means the best friend, the most intimate, the most near and dear, the very intimate friends. Now we can see Parsarthi Prabhu and Sudarshan Prabhu. They are so near, very, very intimate friend. So this very intimate, Krishna is very intimate to the heart and he never leaves us. He is always there with us. Although our husband, wife, home, money, relatives, country, everything is lost in the 8,400,000 species wherever we are moving, but Krishna never leaves us. So when four Kumaras they thought that we are getting stopped for the meeting of our best friend, they got very disturbed, and they thought that how come the gatekeeper of Vaikuntha planet, they are like this, how come they get angry? In this whole Vaikuntha, there cannot be any imposters. There cannot be any cheaters. There cannot be any envy. And how can envy enter the Vaikuntha planet? So they were thinking that maybe they are thinking us imposters, but actually they are imposters. So we should punish them. So immediately they punished them that you will be born on the planet Earth, you will not remain here. For three births you will be there. And since there is no friction, no duality in this material, in this Vaikuntha planet, and you are seeing us as enemy, you are seeing us as imposters, you go to this material world and there you will see the dualities. There you will see the hatredness and loving relationship. There you will see frictions and attractions. Why in this material world there is no harmony? Because we want to enjoy separate from Krishna. We want to enjoy separate from Krishna. That's why there is no harmony. 3 days back, one of my colleagues, he asked me, Nilesh, why don't you see movies? And I thought, how do I tell him that he understands also and he appreciates also? The not to appreciate Naam Sankirtan, but the very concept of our philosophy, that he should appreciate that. Then I told him that we don't see the movie because we have a fear that we may forget the Lord. The 3 hours movie, Indian movies, Hindi movies, they are 3 hours, we all know, right? It's not English movie which finishes in 2 hours. There at least they give concession, okay, 1 hour at least you try to remember anything else. But here they will catch you for 3 hours. See 3 hours this movie. And that movie from the beginning till end, nobody will remember Krishna. Impossible. Impossible. It is, they make in such an attractive way from all the point of view. Oh, everything is there, the thriller. Yeah. Thriller is there in this. Suspense, romance and violence, everything is there, whatever you want. So I told him that for those 3 hours we are not able to remember God. I have not told him Krishna, I told him God. Because he is devotee of Lord Ganesh. So I told him that we are not able to, even if you see that movie, for 3 hours you will not be able to remember Lord Ganesh, the photograph you have in front of him. So if you have attachment with Lord Ganesh, then you need to leave that attachment. You don't see the movie and you will save 3 hours. In 3 hours, don't remember Lord Ganesh. At least you do something else, something productive. There you will be sitting for 3 hours and wasting your 3 hours. And that is why we don't see the movie. We don't want to spoil our consciousness. We don't want to forget the Lord. And that is the biggest fear. And the same thing all the Jay and Vijay said, the same thing, that whatever you did to us, whatever curse you have given it, it is absolutely all right, because we deserve that. But we want one benediction, that we don't want to forget the Lord. Please arrange in such a way that we don't forget the Lord. Or as a devotee, we should have only one fear, that we should not be forgetting the Lord. Only one fear. Not that I give this exam and then I will do this and then I will become a big man, or let me become do a big business, or let me join this, let me join that, all these material things can be stopped, but nobody can stop us to remember Lord Krishna. Anybody? Nobody can say that you should not remember Krishna. He cannot control, at the most he can stop our hands and feet, but he cannot stop our mind, and nobody can stop to think us of Krishna. Only Mayadevi can stop us, when Mayadevi gives us movie or TV or so many things. And at that time we forget Krishna. So we, as a devotee, we should have only one fear, that we should never forget about Krishna. So Jay and Vijay, they said that you are pure devotee. Jay and Vijay, because they are pure devotees, they immediately realize their mistake. And they begged forgiveness from all the four Kumaras. How they beg forgiveness? Not that just please forgive me, okay? No, they fell at their feet and they said that whatever offenses we have committed, we deserve that, this punishment. Plus please justify this offenses that we may never forget about Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu. So they fell at their lotus feet. So when there was one devotee, he came to Radha Gopinath and there was one seminar. And in that seminar he was explaining about Vaishnava Aparad. He said that if you offend a devotee to whom you are feeling little shy to approach, to say, please forgive me, how you will do this thing? So devotees, they replied, I will email him. Another said, I will call him. Another said that I will tell his friend, and I will tell his friend to tell that devotee that I am begging forgiveness. So it's like vaya. But the devotee said that whether you know him properly or whether you don't know him properly, the only method of begging forgiveness is to fall at the lotus feet of that devotee to whom we have offended. So we should be very careful. Today Prabhupada in this purport is explaining that the Supreme Lord is not impersonal. He is the Supreme Person. And at the same time, all devotees are also persons. So when we offend any devotee, Krishna also feels bad. He doesn't feel happy. So if we have offended any devotee, there is no harm in begging forgiveness. There is no harm in begging forgiveness. It is better to be hated for what you are than to be loved for what we are not. So all the four Kumaras, all Jaya and Vijay, they begged forgiveness from four Kumaras, and four Kumaras immediately, obviously, they forgave him. And when they were begging forgiveness, Lord Vishnu came to know about this whole incident, that my dear servants Jay and Vijay, they are cursed, and the four Kumaras, they are anxious to see me, and they are stopped at the gate itself. So Krishna promises in Bhagavad Gita that my devotee will never perish. So immediately Lord Vishnu, he comes, and when he comes, Lord Vishnu, his, I am not the one who can really actually describe this, can describe how he appeared, but some of the things, and when he came, because he is a person, that's why it is explained. Because if a light comes, what is the beauty of the light? Huh? When he comes, Bhagavatam explains that when he came, he was not alone. He was along with all his associates. He was sitting on Garuda. One of the hand was on Garuda, and another hand he had lotus flower, and he was playing with that lotus flower. The two associates, they were doing the chamar, and that chamar, it was looking like swan, two swan, one swan is here, another swan is here. There was a beautiful umbrella on his head. That umbrella had many garlands, pearl garland, and all those pearl garland, they were looking like drops of nectar falling from the full moon, or ice is melting. We have seen that when the ice melts, it looks very beautiful. So all the pearls, they were looking so beautiful. So when he entered, all the four sages, they saw. And this is the form, the 400 Vishnu form. On this form, all the sages, they are meditating. And here is the four Kumaras, they are seeing this form. And they were feeling so much relieved from all the material anxiety. They were feeling so happy. And Lord Vishnu glanced his most loving smile on the all four Kumaras. And the four Kumaras, it, that smile, that glance, it touched the heart of the all the four Kumaras. And they were seeing that Vishnu is in blackest complexion. There was yellow garment as upper cloth. There was garland of fresh flower. And in Bhagavatam we read, wherever there is garland, it is always fresh. In Vaikuntha there is no spoiled garland. It is always fresh. And if the flowers are fresh, you will always see bees humming. So, because Lord Vishnu had this fresh garland, the bees were humming there. Bees were also there. He had bracelets, and he was with Garuda. So when he had shining cheeks, so many people, they do so many things so that it shines, but it shines only for 10 years. After that, nothing. But it was shining. And the lot of effulgence were coming from his alligator shaped earrings. And those earrings, they were shining so much that they were outshining the lightning. This was the scene. Of course, there are so many other things also. He had very prominent nose, beautiful hair. On those hairs, there was beautiful helmet. And that helmet, there were hundreds and hundreds of jewels. He had Kaustubha money. And seeing all these things, all the four Kumaras, they were stunned. And they relished this whole, the personality of Lord Vishnu. And they bowed down to him. And the moment they bowed down to Lord Vishnu, what happened? Tasya Aravinda Nayanasya Pada Aravinda Kinjal Kamishra Tulasi Makaranda Vayu Kinjal Makara Tulsi Kinjal Kamishra Tulasi Makaranda Vayu. The tulsi which was offered at Lord Vishnu's lotus feet, it was the aroma of that tulsi, it was carried by the vayu, means the air, and they smelled that particular smell. It went into their nostrils. And what happened to them? Antargata sva vivarena chakara tesham samshobham akara jusham api chitta tanvo akshara jusham. They were attracted towards impersonalist form of the personality, but this concept, this part of impersonal aspect of the supreme absolute truth, this part got agitated, this part got disturbed. Sankshobham, agitation on the part of the concept of the impersonal aspect of the Supreme Lord. Somebody is thinking Supreme Absolute is impersonal, and this thing gets agitated just by the tulsi offered at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. In Prabhupada's time, there was one lady, and she was attached to the impersonal aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Impersonal, the absolute truth is impersonal. She was very much convinced. But still, she was attending Prabhupada's lecture. And one time, another old lady came, and she became so angry that devotees were paying obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. She said that absolute truth is impersonal, and all of us are God. So, no one should offer obeisances to this old man. Now this lady, she was seeing this incident. And Prabhupada said that if everybody is God, then I am also God. So what is the wrong if they are paying obeisances? But Prabhupada later on, the discussion was finished, and then Prabhupada looked at that old lady with such a fierce eyes. The one who was very envious of Srila Prabhupada, such a fierce eyes that she went away from the program and she never came back. But this lady, the one who had this conception that absolute truth is impersonal, she immediately fell at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and started crying. And Prabhupada said, "You please come next day, we will have talk." And Prabhupada one-to-one started talking about Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Prabhupada have not spoken anything about the philosophy, that how Krishna is person. He just spoke about Lord Krishna, that he is so beautiful. He has very, very beautiful eyes, his black hair, very dark black hair, very dark. And Prabhupada started speaking about Lord Krishna. And Prabhupada one-to-one, he spoke to that lady for few hours, and he just discussed from Lord Krishna book. And that lady got convinced that yes, God is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And later on she took initiation. You want to know what is the name of that Mataji? Janva Mataji. So this, the aspect of impersonal, absolute truth is impersonal, it got agitated by Lord Vishnu's tulsi leaf, the aroma of that tulsi leaf. And Lord Vishnu said that one more thing. When they bow down to Lord Vishnu, they said that they looked at Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, and at that time Lord Vishnu's face was looking like inside of a blue lotus flower, and his smile was like a jasmine flower, and they were fully satisfied. They wanted to see more. They again saw Lord Vishnu's feet, and at that time there is the nails of Lord Vishnu, it looked like rubies. Look at our own nails. Of the feet especially. It's the ugliest part actually. So Lord Vishnu's nails, they are like rubies. So this is what four Kumaras they saw. And in this way they got the full meditation on the form of Lord Vishnu. Full meditation. Yogis, they try to control the senses, but devotees, they try to purify the senses, and that is the devotee's meditation. I'll tell you one example. There was one book distributor. Most of the Radha Gopinath Brahmachari in previous times, they used to go to Bombay Central Railway Station. That is like we have here City Hall, Same way in Bombay, there is Bombay Central Railway Station. Many of us might be knowing. The all the trains which goes out of Bombay, the train which runs at least 400 kilometers or more, let us put in that way, where the traveling is at least of 8 hours or more than that. The train goes from Bombay Central Station. So when the train comes, it remains there for at least half an hour or 1 hour, and after that it leaves. So many of the passengers, they come there, they sit, they don't have anything to do. So the devotees, they take the benefit of this time which they are wasting. So they go along with the books and they try to do the book distribution in the train. So one devotee, Brahmachari, he left the temple at 4:30 p.m. in the evening, and he decided that I'll do some book distribution. Now he had, the moment he sat in the bus to reach to that railway station, he felt the nature's call, urine. He wanted to pass the urine. He thought that, okay, I will reach to Bombay Central Station and there I will do this thing. So moment he reached there, he saw the one train which was about to leave in 15 minutes. So he thought that, let me finish this thing, then I will go. So he distributed in that Rajdhani Express, the train which goes from Bombay to New Delhi. It's around 3,000 kilometers. So he distributed in Rajdhani Express. The moment he came out, he saw there was another train, August Kranti Express. Let me do in this, then I will go, because this train is also going in 20 minutes. So he did book distribution in that train. Then again he saw there is one more train, because this is what happens at Bombay Central Station. Every 20-30 minutes the one train is leaving for. So he was doing like this, going in this train, then again in that train, this train, that train, and by that time it was 9:30. And then he felt so much of, because after 9:30 there is no train. And he was feeling so much pressure. Suddenly he realized that he has to pass urine. And he realized that if I don't go, something will happen right here. Immediately went to public toilet, he did his business, he came out. But then he realized that from 4:30 till 9:30, for 5 hours, I was totally engaged. I was not even aware of the inconvenience of my bodily things, bodily demands. So this is devotees' samadhi, that they get engaged so much in the service that they do not have to sit at one place and do pranayam or so many things. This is devotees' samadhi. And yogis, they go to Himalaya, and after that sometime, Maharaj was once, he was saying that you will see some of the yogis, they have television antenna coming out of their caves. Because there is no entertainment there. But here devotees, they have engaged all the five senses at one shot. Here Raspriya Mataji, she is cooking. Her mind, all the senses, they are engaged that how to cook best prasadam for all the devotees who are going to come. Right. So this is samadhi. Samadhi means you just think of Krishna, that's all. The mind is fully engaged in the service of the Lord and his devotees. This is samadhi. So this is what four Kumaras, they saw when Lord Vishnu. This was their samadhi, the form of the Lord. And they immediately paid obeisances, and then Lord Vishnu started speaking that whatever you have done, Lord Vishnu said to these servants, I beg forgiveness for that. Because whatever servant is doing, master is responsible for that. And whatever these servants have done, I beg forgiveness for that. Please forgive me. So this was the humility that Lord Vishnu was showing. Why he was showing a humility? Because he is a person. Because he is a person, he is very humble also. And he feels that something has gone wrong also. So he begs forgiveness also. The tube light will not come and say that, please forgive me. The Supreme Lord will come. And of course, four Kumaras, they were stunned. They could not speak anything. Because when Lord Vishnu started speaking, it will be the most, I don't have the words also, it will be the most attractive speech to hear. When Vishnu is speaking, obviously, people will get attracted. So, then four Kumaras started speaking again. Now they are humble. They said that this is your causeless mercy, that you are showing us your beautiful form. With profound humility, they said that let us be born in the hellish condition. But let there be three things. That our heart and mind should be engaged in your service. Right? Service to what? Not to tube light. Service to Lord Vishnu and his devotees. Let our words always glorify you, and let our ears always hear about you. Because if we have these three things, we cannot forget Lord Krishna. Once there was Jai Sigorni Tai ki, Jai Sri Laddu Gopal ki, Jai His Holiness Loknath Swami Maharaj ki, Jai His Holiness Jai Pataka Swami Maharaj ki, Jai Gaur Primanandi. So, once there was one the yogi who has got little siddhi, he realized that in my next life, if I take birth, I'm going to become this hog, this she-hog which is there, I'm going to become the child of this she-hog. He knew this, that in next life he is going to become that she-hog, child of that she-hog. And in Singapore, fortunately, we don't see hogs rotting on the street, eating stool, in the garbage, in the gutter. We don't have the conception of what is the dirty gutter. But dirty gutter means, just understand that it is like sewage, open sewage. So, he realized that in next life I'm going to become a piglet. So he told his disciples that the moment this she-hog, she gives the birth, I'm going to take birth there. So immediately you kill me. I don't want this abominable life. So obviously that he lost his body and he came out from that she-piglet. And he was, the moment he came out, he thought that now I have to kill. That disciple thought that now I have to kill. So he went along with his sword and he was about to kill that piglet. And that piglet said, don't kill me, don't kill me. And this disciple was looking everywhere. Where is my guru? Who is talking? Then he looked at piglet and that piglet was talking. That don't kill me, don't kill me. So Gurudev, you yourself told that I should kill you. Now you don't want me to kill you. What is this problem? Now, I was not knowing that this life is so relishable. This is a bliss. So we don't want that we forget Krishna and this Maya's enjoyment. And we say, somebody reminds us of Krishna. We should not be saying that this life is so nice. I should be enjoying here. Don't tell me anything about Krishna. Don't remind me of Krishna. So this is what four Kumaras, they wanted, that always their mind and heart engaged in the service of the Lord. Let them always hear the glories of the Lord and let them always chant the glories of the Lord. Prabhupada said that how can one hear about the glories of the Lord all the time? We have such a small ears. Prabhupada said if you try to hear about Krishna, your ears will become as big as sky. This is what Prabhupada said. Your ears will become as big as sky if you continuously hear about Lord Krishna. So, after that, all the four Kumaras, they paid obeisances and Lord Vishnu said that whatever you have done is the perfect, and because this is my servant's mistake, it is my mistake, I beg forgiveness. Even if some dog eater chants once my name, he will get purified. I am ready to cut my hand if my hand is not favorable towards the Brahmanas, the devotees. So Lord Vishnu is ready to cut his hands if his devotees are offended because of him. The point which Lord Vishnu wants to show that devotees are very dear to him and we should not be offending to devotees. Now in this scenario, apparently four Kumaras were offended by Jay and Vijay. And four Kumaras, they are very dear to Lord Vishnu because they are Brahmanas. So he said that even if it required to cut my own hand, if it is hostile towards you, I am not so much pleased with the ghee which is offered in Havan as much as I am happy the ghee which is dripping from the prasad offered to the devotees. Should I repeat again? I am not so much happy with the ghee which is offered in Havan. I am more happy with the ghee which is dripping from the prasad which is offered to a devotee. So Krishna is most pleased when lot of love and devotion, the service is rendered to another devotee, not only prasad, any service. So this is what the attitude of Lord Vishnu is. Why? Because he considers devotees as person, he himself is also a person. This is the main reason. And then they go to planet Earth. Obviously they take birth as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, then Ravan and Kumbhakarna, then Shishupal and Dantavakra, and after that Chagai and Madhai, and then there is no more. Although they had three, they thought that let us have one more. So they came as Chagai and Madhai. So this is what the pastime of Lord Vishnu form, and the four Kumaras who were impersonalist, they became devotees. In the history of literature, there is not a single devotee who was attracted towards personality of Godhead and became an impersonalist. There is not a single incident. There are incidents that people, they were impersonalist and then they became devotee. So this is the absolute nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we'll now discuss about something else also. In Brahma Samhita it is said that Panthastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo vayo rathapi manaso munipungavanam sopyasti yat prapadasimnya vichintya tatve govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So Prabhupada, in the purport of teachings of Queen Kunti, 14th chapter, he explains about this verse. I am reading as it is. It will explain the first point also, which we discussed about the inconceivable potency of the Lord and our own limited senses. How Prabhupada is explaining. Space is unlimited, and the Brahma Samhita suggests, suppose one travels by spacecraft for millions of years at the velocity of mind, or even the speed of mind. Everyone knows that the mind is so swift that in even 1/10,000th of a second, it can take us millions of miles. If I want to think about Bombay, I am immediately there. Yeah? If we have seen something millions of miles away, the mind can go there immediately. But even if we can try at that speed on a spacecraft manufactured by Muni Pungavanam, that is mental speculators, Sopyasti yat prapadya, the greatest scientist and most thoughtful man, will that be perfection? No. The Brahma Samhita says, Sopyasti yat prapadya simnya vichintya tatve, still this creation will remain inconceivable to our understanding. And Krishna has created all these things. So how can we study Krishna? We cannot understand the things Krishna has created. How can we understand Krishna? It is not possible at all. But Krishna can be understood in one way. Prabhupada explains. Therefore, the mentality of Vrindavan is perfect status of the devotees. The inhabitants of Vrindavan have no concern with the understanding of Krishna. Rather, they want to have Krishna unconditionally. It is not that they think that Krishna is God and therefore I love him. In Vrindavan, Krishna does not play as God. He plays there as an ordinary coward boy, and although at times he proves that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotees there do not care to know it. Prabhupada, spiritual master Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that we love Krishna not because he is God. We love Krishna because we just want to love him. That's all. There is no other reason. We don't want to love Krishna because he is God. He also said one more point, additional. We are worshipper of Radharani. We are not worshipper of Krishna. We worship Krishna because he is related to Radharani. He is connected to Radharani, that's why we worship Krishna. Otherwise, we have nothing to do with Krishna. So, here Prabhupada explains, that the real, if we want to see Supreme Personality of Godhead, our heart, our mind, our intelligence should be as simple-hearted as the inhabitants of Vrindavan. when Indradev, he came on Airavat and he did, this whole Govardhan Leela was finished. And after that he came and he wanted to do Abhishek of Lord Krishna. So Surabhi cow, he took Surabhi cow's milk and he did the Abhishek. Brahmaji did the Aarti ceremony. Some other demigods, they were doing the chamar. Some had peacock fan. Some were offering flowers. Some were offering clothes, argya. So many things were happening at one shot. And all these scenes were seen by the coward boys behind the tree. They were actually struck with wonder, what this is happening with our Kana. So let these people go, different creatures, let them go first, we'll talk with Krishna. And after that, all the demigods, they went, Brahmaji also went. But fortunately, they left their paraphernalia there. So Sri Rama ran, Subal ran, Stok Krishna ran, everybody ran. And everybody picked one thing. Somebody took, said, Aarti Diya, somebody took peacock fan, somebody took chamar, somebody took argya, somebody took ghanti, somebody took something else. And all of them, they started worshipping Krishna at one shot. With everything. Somebody is doing this, somebody is doing that. And Krishna started laughing. He said that, I'm really enjoying with all of you. What is this? They are good that they have gone. This is what the personal nature of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is very simple God. Krishna is not a complicated God. He is a very simple God. What he wears? Dhoti and upper cloth. What he plays? A flute made up of bamboo stick. What kind of garland he has? One mala. Flowers of forest flowers. He has those forest flowers. There is no helmet. It's just a peacock feather. There is no helmet. And how he walks? There is no chappal or shoe or socks. Nothing in his feet. He goes bare feet in the forest. And what he is doing? The worst occupation one can think in villages of India even today is herding the cows and goats or buffalo, something like that. And Krishna is a coward boy. This is a simple nature of Krishna. Krishna is very simple God. We make ourselves very complicated and then we think that, oh, he could do this and that. No. Krishna is very simple God. In Golok Vrindavan also everything is personal. In this material world, this door, this mic, this flowers, this stand, the floor, everything is matter. They cannot reciprocate with us. But in spiritual world, everything is person, everything is spiritual. I give you some examples. Like Jamuna, River Jamuna. River Jamuna, when she appears in this material world, she appears as a son of, as a daughter of Surya Dev. Arvind Bandhu Nandini, yeah. But in the spiritual world, she is expansion of Vishakha Sakhi, friend of Radharani. And Vishakha Sakhi is again the expansion of Srimati Radharani. So Jamuna, she is flowing in Golok Vrindavan just to please the devotees. And what arrangement she does for the pleasure of the devotees. Her water is fragrant. It doesn't smell bad. Smells very nice. Ambrosially fragrant. Her water temperature is not very high, not very low. If it is winter, it will be little warm. If it is summer, it will be little cold. If it is Basant, that is spring season, it is just, the temperature is just perfect. Anytime Krishna or his devotees, they can enter and take bath, no problem. She brings some lotus flowers also. She keeps some lotus flowers so that it looks more beautiful for the eyes of the gopas and Lord Krishna. She brings some nice swans swimming in the river. She is very beautiful in the color. Little dark. Yamuna is little dark. And therefore Lord Krishna brings cows and gopas to drink the water. The water is perfectly nectar. It's not new water or old water. It is just nectar. And this is how, as a person, she is rendering service to Lord Krishna. There are some other, many other pastimes also. But this is how she is rendering service to Lord Krishna. Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill makes its rocks warm, very warm in the winter. You can sit. Otherwise, generally rocks, they get very cold in winter. But Govardhan Hill, it will, Govardhan Hill, not it. He will keep his rocks very warm in the winter and cool in summer. In the summer, it's very pleasing to sit cold, Coca-Cola, very cold. And when Gopas, they are walking on the rocks, it is neither hard nor very soft, but it is super soft like butter. Can you imagine when Gopas, they are walking on the hill of Govardhan, the rocks, it is as soft as butter, very soft. Govardhan keeps some caves also, so that Krishna and all the Gopas, they can come and they can take rest there. There are many caves in Govardhan. Even now also in Govardhan there are many caves. Those caves, they are cool in summer and little warm in winter, so that they can come and take rest, no problem. In the caves there are various jewels and they are shining, so that in the night time there is enough light for Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna. There are various waterfalls, various ponds, and they make very sweet sound. And when Gopas, they drink that water, they get intoxicated in the love of Lord Krishna. In this material world also we get intoxicated. But next day people, they have hangover. But there is no hangover in spiritual intoxication. And it further awakens their ecstatic love for Lord Krishna. In Vrindavan, there are flowers. And flowers, they are also person. So Krishna looks at the flower. And flowers also looks at Krishna. And this flower will be so satisfied in his position that he will not trade his own position with anything else of this whole cosmic manifestation. The flower is very happy when Krishna looks at him. And when Krishna looks at him, flowers also looks at Krishna. So Krishna becomes happy because flower becomes beautiful. And because Krishna becomes happy, he gives one more smile. So because Krishna is happy, the flower becomes more happy and he gives better smile. He becomes more attractive. And because it becomes more attractive, Krishna again gives a wonderful smile, which is better than the previous one. And then because Krishna gives the higher end of his smile, the flower becomes more beautiful. And the flower becomes more beautiful, Krishna gives better smile. And this goes on for eternity. This goes on for eternity. Why? Because Krishna is person and he reciprocates. So if we want to understand that Krishna consciousness, then we must, if we want to understand what is Krishna consciousness, then we must see it thoroughly, personal perspective, see it in a thoroughly personal perspective. Our philosophy is very high. But if we want to see Krishna consciousness, then we have to see it in a very, very personal perspective. And with our impersonal tendency, with the impersonal tendencies which we have, these impersonal tendencies, we'll discuss about impersonal tendencies, these should get purified by personal service. This sentence, Varad's sentence, I just copied. So I read again. If we want to understand what is Krishna consciousness, then we must see it in thoroughly personal perspective, and our impersonal tendencies have to be purified through the process of personal service. When we enter into the house, we see the deities. Deities are person. It's not that they are just standing there. They are person. When we see Lord, when we see devotees, they are also person. When we see Guru, he is also person. He also likes something, he doesn't like something as a person. I'm not talking about Guru Tattva. I'm talking about Guru as a person. So spiritual master is not a symbol. Many people, they have this concept that, okay, I also have Guru, you also have Guru, okay, you don't have Guru, you are a fallen soul, you should have some Guru. Go, there are so many people available in the market. No, 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 no. Guru is not a symbol. Vaishnavas are also persons. So in our society, if we encourage and inspire each other and serve each other, then it is a spiritual society. That is what is required. So one time one person asked Maharaj that why people they leave Krishna consciousness? Why people they leave Krishna consciousness? And they adopt something else. And then they start glorifying that other philosophy which they have adopted. And Maharaj said, this is all nonsense. There is no philosophy which is better than Krishna consciousness. There is no philosophy. You go and study any philosophy in the world and study the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, any sane man will say this is the best and the topmost philosophy. And then, see, this is what Maharaj had answered. I am just putting in a very brief, but these are all Maharaj's words. So, these are not my words, because my English is not so high. There is no match of Krishna conscious philosophy. However, because this is so personal, and if we don't follow it, if we don't live by it, if we are not in the spirit of serving with a personal desire to please other, then we are not really Krishna consciousness. And people leave because they feel impersonalism within the highest personalistic conception of creation. Everything in our books, everything in our culture is personal. But if we are impersonal to each other, then we simply cannot understand this. This is not a sentimental personalism. It should be based on devotional service. I read one sentence again. People leave because they feel impersonalism within the highest personalistic conception of all creation. Our philosophy is very personal, very much personal. And to grow in this devotional service, we need each other. And in this needing each other, we are all in the war against Maya. And when we are in the war, we cannot be complaining. Then we cannot be talking. Suppose there are two soldiers, they are in the war, they are fighting with the enemy, and they get 1 minute to talk. They will not be talking that I don't like your face. Other fellow will not say that I don't like the way you do brush your teeth. Other fellow will not say I don't like the way you wear your socks. I don't like the way you wear your shirt. I don't like the way you move your eyebrows. I don't like your English. It is Singlish. This is what they will not talk. What they will talk, we have to kill that enemy. We have to win the war. So when we are in the war with Maya Devi, that material nature, we should not be seeing the negatives of the devotees. Negatives, everybody has negatives. People are there who can see negatives with Lord Krishna also. Everybody has negatives. Just don't see the negatives. Let us see the positives. Let us inspire, encourage each other, and let us fight this war and help each other. This is what the personalism is. And if we take care of each other, that is what Prabhupada wants us to do. That we take care of each other, we help each other, and ultimately we go back home, back to Godhead. And by the grace of Krishna, we have devotees. There are places in the world where there is no devotee. The devotee is surviving on his own. We have devotees. Every Saturday we have at least 100 devotees. Every Sunday we have at least 70 devotees, minimum. So we have devotees to take shelter of. So let us take shelter of each other and inspire each other. Because our philosophy is very personal. And that is what Prabhupada is saying in today's verse also. That is what Prabhupada is saying, that the Supreme Lord is not impersonal and He is the Supreme Person as confirmed in all Vedic literature. And let us not try to understand the Supreme Personality with our imperfect senses. Let us keep our heart very simple, like Vrajvasis. Our heart is very simple, like the Sridhamai was doing this chamar, and then suddenly he says, Krishna, I have defeated you in wrestling, you have to take me now, okay? So in that, the episode of who was killed by Pralambasur, Salambasur. Lord Krishna took Sridhama on his back. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the most powerful person, is taking his disciple, the devotee, on his back, and he is running. And why he is running? Because that is a punishment, because he lost in the game. Krishna lost in the game. So that is the simplicity which we need. Let us not make our mind very complicated. So the part which is going through in the Bhagavatam, we may not be able to understand with our intelligence. Definitely we cannot understand. But if we see from the overall point of view of Bhagavatam, not from the point of view of that spider which is there in the cobweb, then definitely we can develop the faith. And Bhagavatam, from beginning till end, it is Krishna. Not it is Krishna. This is Krishna. It's not dead matter. This is Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the form of book, in the form of a Shastra. So, some part of this reading may be apparently boring. The modesty is upper portion of the lips. What is this Sukadeva Goswami is talking about? In previous verse, he is saying that Vedic hymns are the cerebral passage of the Lord. The jaws of the teeth are Yama, God of death. God of the jaws of the teeth, they are Yama. Some things we can try to relate. Some things we will not be able to relate. So these things may happen in future verses. But we should know that we cannot understand these things with our intelligence. We need Guru, we need Prabhupada to explain all these things. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Do you know, sir, we have time? Yeah. Is it they know? Any comments? Any correction? Chandrasekhar Prabhu?
Thank you, Prabhu, for a nice class. I just wanted to ask something that in this description of Virat Rupa, so many qualities and so many things which are compared to different parts of the Lord. In this particular example, it's stated that this modesty is the upper part of lip and this Vedic hymns are his cerebral passage. If you interchange it, let's say, modesty is the cerebral passage and the Vedic hymns are upper lip. Is it okay kind of description, or every description is perfect for given part of the Lord?
Well, as far as whatever is described by Sukadeva Goswami is authentic. Anything else we try to do is definitely against, because there is a purpose for it. Putting certain this thing on the head and certain thing on the mouth and something on the below the mouth or any other part of the body is as significance. Like, for example, religion is in front. Back is irreligion of the Lord. That does not mean the Lord is contaminated at the back and the front is auspicious and no. It doesn't mean that. But the significance of that particular thing, of putting religion there and this thing, all significance, doesn't mean the Lord himself is contaminated or God is not. This Virat Rup we are talking about is actually is the blueprint in which Brahma uses it for his creation. Brahma doesn't know how to create. If you read Brahma's prayer after the tapas, he went for 1,000 years of celestial years of tapas. And after the tapas, he found that he still, don't understand. Yes, the Lord responded, he saw and all that, but he still do not know where to start from. Because the whole cosmic manifestation was so huge. And remember one thing, that this whole cosmic manifestation, that means this whole universal, the whole universe, the 14 planetary systems, are all inside the stem of that Dakshai Vishnu. You know, inside this time only that the Brahma came. Brahma came from the lotus flower, and that stem is where this whole universe is situated, inside the stem. And this whole thing is all born by Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And this Virat Roop is appearing there, inside the stem. Not that it is, you know, showing to people everywhere, no, it is inside the stem. And the universe is also inside the stem. And Brahma is using all, every part, he's seeing the thing, because that is the blueprint. Because when the, he admitted humbly, you know, he is not challenging the Lord. You say, yeah, you want me to do, how to do? No. My Lord, I just cannot understand where to start from. It is too difficult. So he starts, and the Lord says, all right. And then he expands into the Virat Roop, and in that Virat Roop, each and every these things are made of what Brahma can visualize, how this universe is going to be. Then only he divided the whole thing into the 14 planetary systems. So all these you see in the Virat Roop, the 14 planetary systems are there, and then you see in each of these planetary planetary system, the type of people are put into different planets and different systems. The upper planet, you have one type of people, this type of people, and see, all are different type of body. So that is how you have to follow. You have to follow in such a way that it fits in. So he used this as a blueprint. And in there, again, he sees the various, you know, now we are talking about this thing. Showing that, okay, the Lord, the eyes, the Lord's eyes, this Surya Bhagavan, you know, it comes out, and then he's showing that the eyes coming out. So, he has to create Surya Bhagavan. So, then the demigod. So, each one has its own demigods controlling each part of the creation. So, in each create, all these are, he is seeing it in the Virat Roop. So in the Virat Roop, at different places. So you cannot take this place and put it in somewhere else. Okay, you cannot take the eyes part where he describes Surya Bhagavan and take Surya Bhagavan and put it in the chest. Oh, cannot. It must be exactly where it is, and it has significance because Surya Bhagavan is the one who lets us see in this material world because the Lord is seeing. Because the Lord desires. In fact, if we go to Canto 3. Canto 3, we will slowly become to understand more about it. And Prabhu already put it, that we cannot use our tiny brain to start to conceive what all this thing about, this creation and all this thing. No, impossible. It's just impossible to conceive. But what this Canto 3, there he says, the Lord wills to see his creation, you know, after so much of this and that, already 14 planetary system, these, that, all these things done. And the Lord saw, oh, it's a dark like anything. So when to see, so the Lord willed to see, and when the Lord saw, that means he used his eyes. Then from the eyes, the seeing, the Suryan, he is the controller of this vision. That means he personified that particular deity for this particular world. So every part of the body, there is a deity controlling. That these deities are all devatas. And that is how and using this as the blueprint, how Brahma creates, or one demigod must be created for this, one demigod. Otherwise this won't function, because our body will not function. Our body we are seeing. If the sun is not there, we can't see. No sunlight, no. It will be dark. So similarly, smelling, every bit of it, like this one, you see, the modesty. And here is saying Mitra Varuna. is the testicles and the genitals earlier on. So all these, without these particular controlling deities, but the controlling deities are coming at the will of the Lord, Virat Roop, in the Virat Roop, and then you see the Lord's form is incompleted. Brahma sees it all completed, and from there he starts getting his, okay, how I should create this. His part, secondary creation. We are now touching on actually a little bit, only a little bit of the primary creation. But as we go to Canto 3, then we will get the details. Because this particular section, this particular chapter that we are now reading, is actually on God realization. What level of realization is God is obtained from each and every different levels. So we have just come to Virat Roop only. That's the beginning, basic, because that's the closest we can think of in the material world. So therefore we cannot interchange things as to say modesty take and put in some other place and this and doesn't work like that. It has its own significance. Okay? Hare Krishna.
I just read the purport of the previous two verses. Just some part. So verse number 30. Common sense is always imperfect, whereas the description in the Shastras is always perfect and complete. If there is any congruity, it is due to our imperfect perfection and not the Shastras. And that is the method of approaching Vedic wisdom. Many times we use common sense. For Shastras we should not be using common sense. This answers so many questions. Whatever question comes, is it common sense? I'm using my common sense. Let me not use my common sense. Let me use the way it should be approached. The Vedic wisdom is not supposed to be approached via imperfect senses or common sense. It should be approached via Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. And one thing which I want to say, all of you remember I read one pastime of Prabhupada, Goli. Prabhupada wanted to become Goli. He said that I don't want to run around. We also have one devotee who is Goli. Anybody knows? Anybody knows? Shaktidhar Prabhu. And the reason behind that is I wanted to please him because I gave him too much trouble since yesterday night. You know, this lecture I prepared yesterday night. And of course I could not go to office. Today I have to come here. So who could print this? Shaktidhar Prabhu. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Praise grace Shaktidhar Krishna Prabhu ki. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Tantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari 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 Bhu. Anant Koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki. Prabhuji, Mataji, just one small announcement. Which I want to do now. Why? Not afterwards. Because some of you might not be knowing, His Grace Rahul Prabhu is not Rahul Prabhu now. He is no more Rahul Prabhu now. He is Gaurakanti Prabhu. His Grace Manoj Prabhu is not Manoj Prabhu now. He is now Gopinath Acharya Prabhu. And Mrinalini Mataji, she is not Mrinalini Mataji now. She is Prarthana Devi Dasi. And Ramchandra is still Ramchandra.
Oh, thank you.